Well, we have managed to get an interview because this is all about interviews, this show. But and they say that some of the best interviews come out of people that just come out of the woodwork. So I've actually got Greg Carrick coming in to talk to me. So Greg, as you all know, has been a commercial photographer, and if you follow him on Facebook, he's often out at 1 and 2 in the morning. One of these days he'll get done as a I'm not sure what he is, but at those sorts of hours. But there is a big photo exhibition coming in. I think, Greg, you've been asked to put something in that too, haven't you?
Yeah, Al, I've got a couple of pieces in, but it's a photo exhibition by the Yarra Ranges Photographic Society.
And whereabouts is it, Greg?
It's at the Warburton Arts Centre. So, yeah, this is our fifth one. We have it every couple of years. Yep.
Yep. Why a couple of years, not yearly, Greg? Is there a reason for that, or is it just it takes that long to organise them?
It does take a long time to organise because we work with the Shire.
Yep.
That doesn't mean they slow us down, but they're very, very thorough.
Yep.
With setting up the exhibition and running it and advertising it and everything, yeah.
Yep. Greg, in a competition the likes of this, and I don't know much about it, and that's why we've got you in to talk about it, do they have a criteria, like, to get into this exhibition, or how do they know who to bring in and what sort of subjects to bring in?
Well, it is an exhibition of the members of the Yarra Ranges Photographic Society. So all the photos in there are taken by members. The only other criteria is we all use the same frame size, so it looks very uniform. But apart from that, the photos are all individually chosen by the photographers, so there's a huge range.
Greg, pardon me, Greg, when you go out to do a photo shoot, and we're talking about now not in your commercial life, because whoever's paying the fiddler gets what they want, don't they? What do you look for?
It depends what I'm doing. There's this thing called genres, like music, in photography. So there might be landscape, macro, nature, portrait, street photography, astrophotography. There's all sorts of different things, and I've tried all of them.
Yep. I've got to ask you, I notice in quite a few that you've done in the last, you're doing them in black and white. Why have you gone from colour to black and white? Is there a reason?
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Well, let me ask
There's lots of theories. A lot of people say who shoot in black and white, it gets rid of the distraction of colour.
Right.
So what you're seeing is you're dealing more with texture and contrast and shapes rather than colour. So if you take a normal photo in colour, the things that attract your eye are light colours or colours like red.
Right.
So if you don't want that to attract your eye, you shoot in black and white. The red disappears.
All right, so when you shoot in black and white, do you pick a particular subject? Now, what I'm thinking about, like if you're going to do, well, say you stood at this end of Hillsville and decided to take a whole row of shops down there, and Leanne Patrick did one, which she did a terrific job, I must say. How would you decide whether I'm going to do this in white or I'm going to do it in black and white? And I'm talking about you here.
Yeah, well, Hillsville in particular. If it's autumn, I'd shoot in colour because the main street of Hillsville is just spectacular in autumn. But if I'm doing street photography genre, then I'm focusing on people and people just going about, so it's unposed. And I would shoot then in black and white to get rid of a lot of the distraction in the background.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So let's just stick with the main street of the Hillsville, because that, just to prove a point or to ask you the question, if you go down there, and we'll say you're not going to do your 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning shoot, but it does look magic at night, I must say, lit up. If you're going to do that, and if there's, I'm walking along and a whole group of people are walking up to you, do you have to get permission to take that photo, or can a photographer just take that photo?
Yeah, you can take photos in public. That's legal.
Yep.
Occasionally I've had people say, oh, did you take my photo? And I'll say yes. And I'll say, oh, no, I don't like that. So I'll just delete it. It's no skin off my nose.
Yep.
But you are allowed to take photos if you're in a public place.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because, I mean, you know that, and of course, I mean, I was at a, and I don't like to ever talk about myself, but I was at my granddaughter's swimming, and I had to get permission to take photos in there. So, but if it's outside like that, or I guess if it was children, would that alter it?
That would alter it for me, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing is, the other side of the equation is, what are you going to do with that photo?
Yep.
A lot of my photos, I end up on social media or in zines or something, so I won't take photos of the kids.
That's fair enough.
Because that becomes problematic.
And then often you put together a compilation of a dozen of them, don't you, for the end of the year and do a calendar?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I've seen those. They're good.
Now, this idea of shooting in public, you've got to be aware that you are actually on public land. You know, if you went into a supermarket, that's private property and it's not yours. You can't shoot people in,
And so if you were walking past a shop and took a photo of the shop window because they had something on the window, you've got to make sure you don't get the people inside?
No, that's where you've got to distinguish where you're standing. If you're on public property, you can take a photo of private residents.
Right.
Yeah. Because if anybody walking along can actually see something with their eyes, you can photograph it. But if you entered the property, that would be illegal.
That's interesting to know that, because I don't think many of the audience, and I certainly would have not realised that. Mm. All right, so I know you take a variety, and you're going to tell me how long is a piece of string? So I'm going to answer the question before I go. But if I said to you today, here's a camera, go out and take the photos that you really want. Now, I know you're going to say it depends on the light, it's going to depend on that, but what sort of photos do you like? Still life? Do you like streetscape? And I know what you're going to say, but I'm still going to ask the question. What would be your preferred item or
Yeah, you know. Well, without getting into string theory, I do like street photography. I will go to Melbourne just to take photos, no other purpose, not shopping, not nothing.
Yep.
Go to Melbourne, take photos on the street. It's immensely varied what you can get when you do that.
So you're talking, I don't want to stop you, but I just want to tease out a little bit. When you go, well, say you're going down to Melbourne, you've hopped on the train, you've gone down there and done it, are you mainly looking for the architecture of the buildings or what are you mainly looking for?
Okay, normally street photography has people in it.
Yep.
And that's fine. But if the city's sort of half empty, well, you can't see sort of interesting people to photograph, I'm quite happy to photograph architecture because Melbourne as an architectural centre is superb.
It is, isn't it? Like, I mean, they've knocked down a lot of old buildings which shouldn't have gone, but they've also, managed to keep quite a few in the city, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fantastic. So how often would you go out shooting?
As often as I can. Sometimes it's weather dependent. Like, we've been lucky in the last 2 years, we've had some auroras. Now, I'm over 60. First time I've seen an aurora was last year, and we had a few of them, and it was fantastic.
Yep.
But astrophotography, we've had some meteorite showers in the last couple of years. They were good. But I tend to combine landscape with astro. So, sure, shoot the stars, shoot the Milky Way, but I want something in the foreground of interest. So that's why sometimes I'll go down the coast.
I know you travel awfully long distances at
crazy
very
times.
Late hours. Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to be a bit more polite than that.
Yeah, I'm happy to lose a night's sleep to get a good photo.
Are you?
Yeah.
And, of course, at the end of the day, you're not getting paid for any of this, are you?
No, this is hobby.
Yeah, it's not like, so it's a very good hobby. How many cameras would you have?
Too many.
and if your wife's listening, you probably don't want to tell me.
No, I have at least a dozen cameras, mainly because they interest me in different ways. So I've got from old film cameras. I've got my very first camera. My father gave me a box brownie when I was a child.
You've still got it?
I've still got it. But, I've got numerous film cameras, but digital, from the very first early digitals back in early 2000s up to now.
So, Greg, first of all, how many of those do you print off once you've taken the photos? And if say you went out tonight, we'll say it, you go out at midnight tonight and wherever you go, the coast, out of the ones that you take photos, how many of those would you delete when you got home?
I don't delete a lot, but the ones I print would be a minuscule amount. If I take 200 photos in a night, I might print one or two.
So, for the listeners and myself, how many, like, you've got a digital camera, so, and obviously one of the great things of that is you don't have to print them all, which in the old days you had to. But if you were to go out, and so how many hundreds would you have, can a camera hold?
String theory again. But, yeah, you can easily get, 500 photos on a memory card that's inside your camera.
So, because you would take a lot more than 500 in a year, I would think.
Oh, yes, yeah. I store them on my hard drives.
Yep.
And that's one thing I will point out to people. If you have photos on your device, and it might be your phone, remember to get them off the phone onto your computer, because if you lose your phone or drop it, you've lost all those memories.
And that's a terrific point, because I was only thinking this the other day, like, I've got photos of my granddaughter when she was in a cradle, and she's six now. So you wouldn't want to lose any of those.
Yeah. Get them off your device, whether it's a camera or a phone, onto your hard drives, store them somewhere.
Yep. Mm. I don't want to ask you about your personal life, because I never do that on interviews, but I know you've got grandchildren.
Yep.
How many photos would you have of them?
Several hundred. But then I'm lucky my daughter, the mother of my grandkids, is also into photography.
Oh, is she?
She has a lot of photos of the kids.
Did you talk her into it?
I taught her a lot.
Yeah. We'll take next week. How do you know whether next week you'll go out and take any photos during the night?
Well, luckily here as a presenter, I read the weather every hour, so I sort of have a general idea of what's coming up. But there's other things that factor into it. Like, if I'm going to go down the coast and take photos of seascapes or Milky Way or something, I will look at not just the weather, whether it's going to be rainy or not. Too many clouds and you can't take the Milky Way.
Yep.
But I'll look at when's the tide high and low. Because there's places I go where I can only get to at low tide. And I don't want to get there when the tide's coming in, because I've got no time left, if there's a full moon. If there's a full moon, it really can ruin your astrophotography. So, like right now, there's no moon, so it's great. But next week, there'll be some moon.
So how do you decide? Because I know you do go there and you go up the hills and you go also. How do you know where to go? I mean, surely, like, you can't look up everything that you think is going to happen next week.
Yeah, well, local knowledge is really, really good. When I travel, it's harder.
Yep.
But around here, if you're local and you want to get some, say, astrophotography at night, go to Heber's Lookout near Yarra Glen.
You'll have everybody up there with you next time.
Yeah, it's a great spot. Often when I go there, there's other cars there with photographers, 2 a.m. in the morning or whatever. That's a good spot, because you can see virtually 360 degrees and there's very little light pollution.
So how many we need to get back to the photography exhibition, because that's what we came in to talk about.
Yep.
But, Greg, when you go out at 2 o'clock in the morning, like...
That's me. That's all right.
I was going to say, it's not me. How many other photographers will talk at 1, 2 in the morning... You said there'll be other cars there. Mm. Like, how many others bother to go out at these sorts of times of the hours?
If something special's on, like when the auroras were happening last year, I went down the peninsula, bottom of the peninsula, down near Flinders, to a remote spot, and there was like 100 photographers there.
100 photographers?
Because we all knew the aurora might happen, and there was such a rare event that, everybody came out.
What happens if you get down there and it's a dud night. Like,
oh yeah, I've spent a lot of nights where nothing happened and it should have.
Greg, the other thing I just want to ask you before we get back to the exhibition, we need to get back to that. How good are the phones these days compared to a person who has to go out and buy a $500 camera?
Yeah, I would suggest if you want to get into photography, just pick up your phone. Try it first.
They're that good, though?
They are good. They do have limitations.
Yep.
But nowadays, a phone will take just about every photo that you would need.
Terrific.
But if you go to extremes, like if you want to take Astro or the Aurora, yep, then sometimes the phones don't take photos for long enough.
Yep.
Or if you want to zoom in on something, they don't really have good zoom lenses, so a camera is, yep, better for that. But certainly for recording your life, even for doing things like street photography or whatever, a phone does the job fine.
And it's a good start. Anyway, let's get back to the exhibition. Mm. It starts when? The 4th of September?
Yeah, it starts 4th of September. It goes all the way through to the 23rd of November. So it's a good long exhibition. Yep. Thank you very much, Yarra Ranges Shire, for that. They have an opening day.
Yep.
Which is on Saturday the 13th of September from 2 p.m.
13th of September?
Yep. Yeah, at the Warburton Arts Centre. And if you want to go to the opening, it's free, but you do have to book via the Yarra Ranges vic.gov.au website.
So any other time you can just go in.
Yes.
What hours is it open, Greg?
The Warburton Arts Centre, hang on, I'll just bring that up.
Hey, we've got a question you didn't know an answer to, mate.
Most days it opens at noon and goes to 4 p.m. It's closed Mondays, but Fridays and Saturdays it's open from noon till 9 p.m.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, you can go there in the evenings as well.
As well.
But, yeah, that's all that info is on the yarrarangers.vic.gov.au.
So it's their website
as well.
Greg, I think I asked you this, but I'm not sure we actually covered it. Is there a theme to this exhibition, like are mainly them all streetscapes or just whatever anyone did?
All the members are allowed to choose two of their photos to put in, which I did myself.
Yep.
And there's probably 40-odd people who are putting photos in, and there's no restriction on the type of photos.
Oh, terrific.
So you'll get everything.
Yep. Are they... pardon me. So that's on between the 13th of... the 4th of September and the 23rd of November.
Yep.
Warburton Arts Centre. But the opening is on Saturday the 13th. Was that what you said?
Yeah. 2 p.m.
Yep. And just give us a website again, please, Greg.
Well, you get all that from the events page on yarrarangers.vic.gov.au.
Sounds terrific.
But if you want to know about the Photographic Society itself...
Yep.
We have a website, which is very easy to remember, yrps.org.
yrps.org?
Yep.
Gee, that's easy. Is there any judging in this, Greg, or it's just a show?
I think there might be a people's choice. We've done that before.
Yep.
There's a box there and you can write a bit of paper which photo you prefer.
So you want
like
everyone to come down and vote for Drew Carey. No.
And a lot of photos will also be for sale.
Oh, will they?
Yeah.
Do you know what sort of range do photos bring at something like that? Do you know?
I don't know, because each photographer is allowed to set their own price.
Oh, set their own price. Yeah. I've got to let you go because I know you're on at 3 o'clock with the Oz Indie Show. Have a great show. Thanks for coming and talk to us, Greg.
No worries, Al.
And we've got a couple of Oz Indie tracks coming up in a few minutes as well.